The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
My dreams. I've had enough of these annoying and distracting schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strong Rider on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. And that's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
My mind's made up to put some good energy out into the universe, and I hope it all comes back to me, because Leah Longo, who is a recording artist from Montreal, Canada, talked with me previously, and she has a wonderful jazz mantra album. She calls it Mantra Jazz. It's called Songs of a Siren, and we played a lot of tracks from it. Well, I didn't get to finish the rest of the interview, so let me reintroduce you to Leah Longo. You can visit her at leahlongo.com. And let's pick up the rest of the interview. We were just speaking about her project. She was working on a CD and daring to dream, to do something different. And here we go.
It's interesting when you just dare to try something, you know, and then it starts taking shape. So with my musicians and engineer, we just made it all come together. And it was a project that we've been working on for over a year. So
that's cool. Did you ever dream that you'd actually get to this point where you're making music, doing something that you really love?
I wasn't sure. I knew that I wanted to continue with mantra. I wasn't sure if I was going to keep doing it in the classic, in the, you know, Indian classical and the more in the Eastern way. I know I wanted to do a few albums like that, which I did, but I always felt like I should sing some jazz somehow, like, or at least some jazzy song, you know, jazzy sound, because I've always been a lover of jazz music. I just didn't know how I was going to put them both together. You know, I was just like, well, how do I do both styles? I can't just choose one, you know? And so that's how this came about. I mean, I'm hoping to do more of this, and it's just very, it's challenging, because you need to find, or either you write them, which, you know, I have written, or you also choose some release standards that have lyrical content that will fit the mantra, because, you know, mantras have meanings too. So you want to make sure that they fit. And so that was the biggest challenge. And, yeah, I think I came close enough.
I do too. Now, who's playing all the instruments on there? Since you said you were producing it yourself, you had a musical partner and yourself, and that's who's playing on the record?
No, I hired all really great musicians from Montreal, and they're just phenomenal, all studio guys and musicians that play, you know, with other artists and what have you, and a really great team of different musicians that come from different backgrounds. Yes, are jazzy, some are pop, some sitar. I just, you know, really had a blend of all the elements I needed. The jazz elements. I have one guitarist here who, he's a really an amazing jazz guitarist. He plays with a lot of artists here, and so he did most of the standards. And then my partner was also a guitar player. He played all of the other songs that were pop, and a sitar and a tabla player, and all the people that I've been working with. And I just said, well, this is what I want to do, guys. And
right.
So I explained them the vision, and they were just they were kind of curious too, you know, because they had never done this before as well. You know, the mantra music was new to them as well, so they
right.
was like, well, okay, let's try it, you know. And it was really amazing. We had fun in the studio. You know, there was no it was an inspiration. It was a great creative day, and we just recorded a bunch of stuff, and then I went back to edit a few things. So it was really fun. It was, you know, it's fun. You have to have fun when you record and create.
Of course.
If you don't have fun, why do it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course, because why even bother? Because it would show in the final product.
Yeah.
Just let go and have a great time.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I am very intrigued with the way, I'm happy with the way this album turned out, Leah. You have a beautiful voice. The musicians sound excellent. Has your voice always sounded like this? I was just curious if you had a vocal coach or did this come naturally to you?
Yeah, I've always sounded like that. I just used to sing a little bit higher in my other songs, and I always tend to take the higher register. And so this album, I had to really experiment with my lower register of my voice. And so I think it's really my first album that I sing really much lower than usual. And I really enjoyed it because it allowed me also to connect as well, because I had, you know, for some reason when we sing lower, we're more in the lower chakras. We're just more, I think we feel more. You know, it's weird. I just felt really more at ase with my voice too, singing a lower register. So I'm happy you like it, because I'm usually a little bit higher, and this was a little bit different. So yeah, I think I always had it. I just always thought that I had to sing high, and you know, that's obviously not necessary. So.
It's always good to play with the range that you have, but what you're currently doing with that lower register, you're doing it draws the listener in, and it's very calming. I like that.
That's the goal. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you were going for, but I just thought I'd I thought I'd confirm that for you, just from a listener who enjoys music. That's all. And I'm a songwriter too, but number one, I just love to listen to good music.
Oh, thank you. That's at least I know we're on the right track.
Now, it's probably hard to imagine your life before yoga chanting, but there was a life before that. I know you've entered some contests and you won something. You won a songwriting contest. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was really amazing. I had entered one of the pop stations, the hit stations of Montreal, and it was holding a contest for the best songwriter. And then so I had won that one locally, and then we had to go to Toronto for the national, you know, the song of the country. It's sort of the national, and so I had won that year for the song of the contest. It was with CMW, which is a Canadian Music Week, is like a music festival we have here of pop and rock and you know, more Western music. And so that year I had won the national songwriting competition, and that was really amazing because the song played on radio and really got a lot of really great feedback, and really amazing to be recognized as a songwriter, I guess. I mean, I had other things happening before then, but, you know, the songwriting was nice to come back home and to get that award. I was really, really grateful for that.
What was the song that won you the prize?
It was called Ugly, actually.
Ugly? Tell me about that song, because it's always interesting what people will pick.
Miserably
I don't know,
Happy
did you...
Is... Yeah,
go ahead, I'm sorry,
I
say
an
like...
album called Miserably Happy. And I was in L.A. I lived in L.A. for about 3 years when I was writing the album. So I had written all these songs about, you know, inner conflict and love loss and just really, you know, everybody goes through their own inner conflict world. And I was happy to be in Los Angeles because I just love California. But I was just miserable because it was just very difficult and challenging. However, I realized that with every difficulty in life, you always end up, for some reason, seeing the light. And my light was basically on that album that I had written. I was very grateful to have had, like, many songs being placed in different films and TV shows, from Dawson's Creek to Cheaper by the Dozen, Party of Five, and Summerland, and a bunch more.
Wow.
And, then
these are all in the 90s, the late 90s, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I was was really it was difficult, but then I was very grateful that a lot of the songs were recognized by music supervisors who chose those songs. So So Miserably Happy was the album title, and it's a strict pop rock album, you know. And that was the life of Miserably Happy.
Yeah, you talk about it like it was all, you talk about this like it was like a whirlwind, like it just sort of happened all at once, and it was overwhelming when it finally culminated in you winning the competition.
Yeah. It didn't happen all at once. It was a 3-year process living in LA. I had started writing, and the next year it was like a 4-year project, I would say, because it all started when I moved to California, writing the songs, getting a few placements on the way, and then finally coming back home and winning that competition, and then actually releasing the album with Universal here in Canada. So it was all that hard work in California had paid off, because when you hear anything you do, you need to put effort behind it and do whatever you have to basically plant your seeds and watch it grow after. And so, as everybody knows, every songwriter knows, you don't just write a song and then, leave it on the shelf. You need to talk to people and expose the song and network and be available. And so that was that's the hard part, because sometimes you just don't feel like doing that.
Most definitely. Yeah. You gotta stick to it. And I was just curious, because I would like to, and many of the songwriters that I talk to are beginners. They would like to have film and TV placement of their music. Maybe it's easier than we think. How in the world did you get it done, Leah? And, how did you get your name out there so that this could happen?
I basically went to a lot of conferences. I met people. I kept in touch with people. I pitched a lot of songs, and I continuously pitched. And not only did I pitch, you follow up.
Uh-huh.
The mistake with a lot of songwriters, including myself, the beginning is that I wouldn't follow up. And people are busy. It's not because they don't like you or they don't want to. It's just they're busy. I'm busy now, and sometimes people will email me, and I just forget, and I don't do it on purpose. It's just so by following up, you allow that connection to happen again and say, hey, just a friendly email and saying, hey, I sent you my song, and what do you think of it? If you have a moment, just please reply and let me know what you think. And that's like a really important factor, because I did a lot of follow-up and a lot of emailing and connecting and just talking to people. It's so important. You have to do both these days. You have to wear both hats. And nobody does it better but you. Nobody. Because you wrote the song, and you know what it's about, and nobody can explain it better than you. Even if you have a manager or a publisher, it's not the same thing when it comes from you. You wrote the tune. So, and the person who's listening to you, they'll feel you, they'll understand, they'll see where it's coming from. And it's so important, because people are, they're human. We all have emotions, and a song is all about written emotion, and text. So it's the best way is to explain it yourself.
Understood. So I have a question for you, though, Leah. So if you've had some of these songs show up in a couple of the Warner Brothers network shows like Dawson's Creek or Felicity, things like that. Did you write the song prior to pitching it, or did somehow you tailor some kind of song to fit the show? Which came first?
I wrote all the songs before. All the songs were written, and they were all chosen as is. So I created the song. You do what needs to be done. You write it from your heart. And then you just pitch it according to what the requirements are. A lot of the music supervisors are going to ask you for a specific type song, love song, a sad song. So based on what they're asking for, you need to just send them the best song you have that fits their description. And by doing that, you give your chance know, you give your song a better chance to be placed. But all my songs were written way before any of the pitching got done. I was writing to release an album. My goal was to release an album and to tour with the album. And I had no idea that the songs would have been chosen for, you know, film and TV. They were all written beforehand. But I mean, you know, there's no right or wrong way, Dean. It's just basically you do what feels right for you, you know? There's
yeah,
no formula.
And then the network or the company will send you some kind of correspondence or give you a call and say, we're interested in featuring your song. And Felicity, for instance, was it sort of like that? Or you get a letter?
Yeah. I was working with a music supervisor before, Dawson's Creek was my first placement. And so the music supervisor, once you build a relationship with somebody, then they'll keep you in their repertoire, and then they'll access your music and know and see if there's anything for their future project. So at that point, they had had all my music and my album in their catalog, and so basically that's how it happened. Is you know, once you have a relationship, the hardest part is to get a relationship, and then when you have it, then you can always follow up every couple months or every whatever. You say, hey, I got new music, or how's it going? What are you working on? Yeah. And which I haven't done, by the way. You're just reminding me I got to do that. And I just see what they're up to, you know, just a friendly follow up and see what they're looking for. You know, everybody's looking for something, and hopefully they, you know, they like the music, and they'll take it for one of their projects. And if they don't, you know, we don't take it personal, because it has nothing to do with the music. It just didn't fit, you know?
Yeah. I think that's an important thing you just told me right there. Don't take it personally. Did you have any hang-ups about that before? I'm going to mention the yoga chanting again, because it seems like
that becomes
a way of coping with, you know, any doubts or anxiety, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Nobody wants to talk about their struggles, but yeah, before you get your first break, it's hell out there. You know, you got to prove yourself. You got to make connections. You got to build relationships. It's hard. And, you know, you get a lot more no's than yes, but the more no's you get, just brings you closer to the yes's. So go out there and get as many no's as you can, because you know that eventually there's going to be a yes, and that yes is going to be really great. So I'm not afraid of the no's. I actually bring them on. I said, come on. You know, like, okay, that's fine. Next. The next one. It's there's nothing wrong with getting, you know, your song not being accepted at a specific time. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's actually great. At least you know it's not what they're looking for. And so you move on to the next project, supervisor or connection, or you keep going at it. And there's so many things out there, so many opportunities out there. You just have to dig them up.
Well, I was wondering if you thought there was sort of a balance that you keep, because have you ever seen these auditions that they televised some time ago for American Idol? And you have a little girl up there, and she's just convinced she's the best. And when they tell her no, that she's terrible, and the audience seems to react the same way, they won't accept it. I mean, is there delusion, and is there also sticking by what you know to be true?
It's you know, our mind and our ego plays dirty tricks on us. And,
it sure does, doesn't it?
So sometimes you know when you. The thing is that you need to ask everybody, you know, which I did and I still do all the time, is you ask yourself, is this for my greatest purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this what I really want for my greatest purpose? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And you know, this way, is this the road I'm supposed to take? And sometimes those artists, you know, maybe it's not the road they need to take. Maybe it's, maybe they need to go independent. Maybe they need to do it in their local city and start singing in coffee shops or something. If they really love what they do, you know, if you love what you do, you'll sing anywhere.
Yes.
You don't care if there's 2 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people. You know, for me, when we do our Kirtan classes, sometimes at the beginning we used to be 4 people. And I tell you, Dean, I get the same feeling when there's 4 or when there's 200 people now in our classes. It's like, or a concert. It's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference for me. I still get the same buzz. I still close my eyes.
Yeah.
When it's bigger, more people, I'll close less because you know, more people there and you kind of want to see. But when we do our kirtan classes, it doesn't matter. So does it really matter that you're on American Idol? Yeah, sure, it matters in a promotional way, sure. But does it serve your higher purpose?
Right.
And most of the time, maybe it doesn't, you know? Not for everybody, you know?
I agree.
I don't know.
I'm sure happy that you contributed to that, because there's... you have to remind yourself a lot of times when the doubt creeps in, you got to remember why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, I'll ask you that question. Why do you do music, Leah?
Oh, it feeds my soul. I chant, when I chant, I feel blessed, joyful, happy. And music just puts me in a good mood all the time, in a better mood. You know, especially the mantra chanting, the mantras, and now with the jazz standards and everything, it just it just makes me feel really connected, and that's the word. Just to really feel happy with what you're doing, no matter what the result is. You know, as long as you're happy and you're doing it for the right reason for you. And it's with passion, and it connects you to your divineness, and you know that you're doing the right thing, and you're really happy about it, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, how many people are there with you. You know, I don't know, it shouldn't matter.
stars and the trees. May all your storms be weathered, and all that's good gets better. May the Lord bless the whole world with eternal peace and to.
Well, when you perform in front of people, I'm assuming that you've done quite a few live performances.
Yeah, we do some every month, building more concerts for my new album. So it's I love live performances. I love being with people, I love being on stage and performing and singing. It's just the way of life.
I'm sure the adulation is—it's fun too. You have your fans or your audience come up to you and tell you how much they enjoyed what you did. And
yeah,
that's rewarding in itself, isn't it?
It's more actually. It's really rewarding when somebody comes up to you, and not that they like what you did, but what it brought to them. That's a rewarding part when let's say we're chanting a specific song, and then they'll come up to you and say, "Oh, this is exactly what I needed tonight. Thank you." And you're like, "Oh, good."
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
You know, because a lot of it is very healing for people, you know, and they come with a certain feeling from the day, and then they'll leave in a better place. And, you know, if that's what happens, then, you know, you've done some really good stuff out there, you know. And so that's what's more rewarding, is that when people leave in a better mood than when they came in with. And you know, okay, that's cool.
How is it that you advertise your shows, and do they know what they're coming to see? Just some good music, or do they know that the full story behind what you're about before they go? And they say, "Oh yeah, this is what I want to see." That she's mixing the chanting with the music, and it's going to be great. or are they just completely pleasantly surprised when they show up?
Most of the people that have come to our classes and our concerts have been mostly in the yoga community who I can't say that, because a lot of people I always ask at the beginning of my concert who's done kirtan before, and there's always hands that go up that have not done it. But I'd say like a good, 60% of people already know what they're in for, and then and then the other 40% have no clue. So I explain it to them at the beginning that, you know, you're not at a concert here, even though it feels like a concert, but you're going to be enjoying an experience where you'll be lending your voice, and we're going to connect all as one, and we're going to repeat these mantras together. But, you know, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you do want to, you'll get more effect from it, benefit. So I explain how we're going to go about it, and you'll get a lot of people from their first time that really enjoy it. They say, "Oh, it's really relaxing. It's really healing. Thank you. I needed that." It's really, a lot of it is new to a lot of people, and some of them continue and some of them don't, and that's okay.
The song Jaya Love, I listened to that and I immediately got a certain vibe, a certain feeling off of it, that it was, first of all, the arrangement was beautiful, and the musicianship is top notch. You really did hire some great people.
Thank you.
And when I heard what the lyrics were, and then you started started a little bit of chanting in there, and I said, this lady is not hitting you over the head with it. She's just, it sounds like it's a celebration of what you've been inspired by in your life. Is that pretty close to what's going on there?
Yeah, it basically, Jaya Love is a love chant. It's Jaya means victory, victory to love.
Uh-huh.
And when two people stay in the light and are honest with each other and stay, and are in love and are, and not just in love in the physical way, in love with their spirit and with their beingness, then you know that, you know, you've got something solid, and it's the love that's the victory. And that's what's important, you know, that we need to put the spirit and, you know, put the love first, and be, love is patient, love is kind. And, you know, that's basically the gist of the song. It's important that we stay in the light, you know, when you're in a relationship or a marriage or, you know, even just two friends, you know, you love your friend. Just, you know, it's just stay in the light.
Stay in the light.
Yeah, stay in the light.
Yeah.
Keep it easy. Keep it light. Keep it simple, you know. Love is all you need, really. You know, don't, let's not get too mental about it, you know, like, don't think too much about it. Just open your heart and don't get too confused with the, you know, the words. Just really just stay open to it, you know.
You know, anytime we're talking about music and creating it and sharing it with that, I get turned on by that, because it's just wonderful. And I see that's what you've been doing with your life. So I think that's just the best thing.
Yeah. I think that when it becomes part of your life, it everything else, it falls into place a lot easier. And maybe sometimes there will be obstacles in front of every, you know, of your life, but they're only temporary, and it just allows you to see the light that's up ahead of us. Because we all have stuff that happens to us, you know, and that you know, we create. And at the time, they may seem like, oh, that's really awful. But then with time, we see the message behind all our obstacles. And that's a very a really big lesson that I have learned, and I've realized even through other people's life experiences, that, you know, it's not always as bad as it seems.
Well, we talk a lot of this stuff suggests that, you know, just enjoy life and love, and obviously, you know, there are those that want to they want to make a little bit of money to support themselves on their music. That doesn't normally happen, because a lot of people have to have second jobs, and it keeps some stability so they can do the music and enjoy it. But
yeah.
What has me curious is that it takes a lot of money to produce an album. You really have to believe in what you are putting out there, and I hope this pays off in spades for you. I really do. I think this is a wonderful album that you have, just from what I've heard.
Well, Dean, you know, pays off is I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, but there's a lot of ways that music can pay off, you know, and it's not always by currency, which I know we're living in a specific world and that we need money and all that. But, you know, music is a language, and it's an energy exchange as well. And it's not my first album, you know, so I've been putting out a lot of energy, if you want to call it that, in the last, you know, 20 years. So when you're doing that, the sort of work, and you're really open to the universe, and you say, this is what I want to do, and this is what I do, and you keep at it, your exchange will come to you. The exchange, you know, the either if it's in currency, either it'll be in spiritual exchange, either it'll be through sponsorships, either it will be through film and TV, I will be through acting, whatever it is, it's all part of your road and your path. And if we look at it just on one element, which is currency, well, we're missing the whole picture. It's so much bigger than that, you know?
Yes.
It's so much bigger than that. I mean, there's so many people that I wasn't even aware of that will listen to my music from one of my first albums or my, say, Zen Voyage, and come to me and they'll explain to me their story and how it helped them, and you know, it's, you know, somebody from their family was going through a depression or some sort of illness, and they put the music on, it helped them so much, thank you. And people suffered from cancer, and you listen to these stories and you're like, wow, okay. I'm happy I did this record. And it's not about the currency exchange, it's about what you put out there in the universe.
Yeah,
and that is way more powerful than any dollar that you'll give me. If somebody comes to you and tells you that story, you'll be like, "Holy moly! Wow, how amazing!" You know, like, thank you, you know, for sharing. And I think that's what we miss out on, is that there's a lot of energy in the universe, and we just need to keep feeding that energy. The universe is a huge ball of energy, and it's not all about the physical currency.
You took the question out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say. You put the energy out, and it should come back to you. That's what the law is of the universe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's the karmic laws of the universe. Absolutely. Whatever you put out will come back. I mean, good or bad. So it's better to put good out there.
Well, forgive me. I was a little clumsy in trying to ask the question. It's hard to accept that sometimes, but you have to trust that what you're doing is going to have a purpose.
You need to
trust.
That takes a long time to get that, though. I mean, it took me a long time as well to really trust and say, as long as you're doing it and you make, like I said, what I said at the beginning, if it feels good and you know that you're coming from the heart, and you're really being honest with yourself, and you're being true and authentic, that's all that matters. You know, people will see that, and they'll buy it or they won't. It doesn't matter, as long as you're authentic about it. And that's what matters, and you exchange energy, positive energy.
Absolutely. Leah, we've run out of time, but I really so appreciate you coming on the show, and I hope to have you back some more, and we can maybe talk some more about your Songs of a Siren CD. What do you think? Would that be okay?
For sure. I'd love to be back. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to share and to hopefully, shed some light too. And I know there's a lot of strong writers out there, songwriters.
Oh, thank you.
and it's just to keep doing what you love, because it's important that you feel your passion and it's what makes you happy. And don't ever give up. Why? For what? Just keep doing it, whatever it gives to you. It doesn't matter. As long as you're happy about sharing and writing, that really is the most important thing.
What a wonderful woman Leah Longo is. She's very special, and she's doing the music the way she wants to, and a lot of people are responding. Please visit her at www.leahlongo.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Strong Rider on the radio, and I am your host, Dean Olson. And until next week, stay strong. See you later. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Strong Rider on the radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the Amazing Women and Men of Power, world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.